Welcome back to Uniquely Genetics, a podcast by Sheep Genetics. I'm Chloe Bunter and we have made it to episode 5. Thanks to all that have listened along as we've embarked on this new form of communication and providing information about genetics. I hope you have enjoyed it so far. Any comments, suggestions or questions, please reach out to Sheep Genetics. We'd love to hear from you. For our 5th episode today, we're going to be taking a closer look at a very important and exciting component of the genetics pipeline, the research and development that sits behind the analysis. Now, this research development pipeline is one of the defining factors of the sheep genetics evaluation and genetics research in general for Australia. Having that direct pipeline from research projects and their results to either sheep genetics or breed plan is so valuable to the industry. It's led to some really amazing progress and results for our producers. To help us delve more into the reach of genetics research within Australia, we're very lucky to be joined today by someone who is working with our research scientists and industry on cutting-edge projects as we speak. They get to see the conception of the idea all the way through to the implementation of the results into the analyses. She's the project manager for genetics within Meat and Livestock Australia. I'm talking about, of course, Sarah Day. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Sarah, for episode 5 of the podcast.
Thanks, Chloe. Very excited to be here.
I was wondering if you could give us a little bit of background about what your role in industry has been.
Yeah, no worries. So I grew up on a seed stock property, both sheep and cattle, in South Australia. And then, so I've always had a bit of a passion for genetics and have always loved it. Then when I first left uni, I actually started in the MSA team. So I was working in the R&D space in the MSA team, so within abattoirs and all the R&D related to eating quality for both beef and lamb. More recently, I've been looking after the livestock genetics R&D portfolio. So that's looking after all of the research that MLA have with industry across beef, lamb and goats as well for genetics. So it's a really exciting space to be working in and get to work with heaps of different stakeholders along the supply chain. And there's always something different every day, which is really great.
And it is that genetics portfolio that we're going to talk about today. Just to sort of set the scene about where genetics is up to in sort of research and development, do you mind giving us a very brief summary of what research in the genetics space does look like?
We have a mix over both beef and sheep at the moment, and I think in a previous episode Peter was talking about our reference populations, mm-hmm. and we have quite a few reference populations, as she talked about the resource flock in more detail and how that underpins the sheep genetics evaluation. But a couple of key projects we have also are reprenomics and southern multibreed in beef, and they underpin our southern and northern beef reference populations and genetic evaluations there. And we also have a real mix across sustainability traits, Chloe, but also just anything to further genetic progress. So whether that is looking at feed intake, methane measurements, fertility, shedding, there is anything and everything you can think of is quite covered within the portfolio at the moment.
How would you say that working in a genetics research space differs to, say, other parts of the industry? Is there anything particular about genetics that does make it a little bit special or different?
Yeah, it is. There is one probably key difference is that in genetics, we need a lot of data over a really long period of time. So a lot of our projects in the genetics space do go for 5 years or more to be able to ensure that we've collected enough data on those animals to be able to make accurate genetic decisions, mm-hmm. and get the correct information that we need to be able to funnel that R&D into our genetic evaluations, breed plan and sheep genetics.
And having projects go for such a long period before you start to see, you know, that data come in and have results, is there a lot of people or a lot of different programs out there that help with the genetics portfolio, or how does a project get started essentially?
For sure. So one thing that's different in the genetics portfolio is we have the National Livestock Genetics Consortium, the NLGC, just to throw another acronym at you. So the NLGC works as it's a skill-based task force that was established back in 2015 to provide industry consultation for the investment in livestock genetics. So So we have a lot of key industry stakeholders and genetics researchers that cover the whole supply chain for genetics, completely across the board. We have sheep producers, cattle producers, breed society reps, composite breeders, processors, feedlots, integrated supply chains, researchers, heaps across that whole supply chain. And what we do is we use that task force as a way to set priorities for our genetics investment portfolio. And since 2015, we've run 4 project calls as part of the NLGC that's led to $90 million worth of investment in genetics research. So that's been a really successful program of work, and it's really led to some really key industry outcomes. The other thing, when you talk about the key difference in genetics as well, Chloe, to other research, is we have those pipelines set up ready to go for our research to go into. In that breed plan and sheep genetics, our genetic evaluations are there for that research to be able to go into new trait or index development or other areas. And that is, a lot of that is done by AGBU, yep. The Animal Genetics and Breeding Unit in Armidale.
So $90 million worth of investment in genetics research, that's incredible and outstanding and a lot higher than I thought it was. Just thinking more about, as you said, that reach of genetics research and how it does cover so many different species. Do you have any examples or highlights of research projects that's come out of that NLGC?
Yeah, absolutely. There's heaps. So that's probably not a very good, that's not a very narrow answer for you. But I would say that we do have a lot of different projects. And one key one that's actually just been released to industry is we did a initial research project through the NLGC, researching northern genomic breeding values. Mm-hmm. And what that did was developed a reference population of northern Australia cattle working with producers for a genomic-only product to deliver individual breeding values on animals. So what that allows now, Chloe, is it's just recently been commercialised by Black Box Co. In Queensland. So what that allows commercial producers in northern Australia to do is to be able to genotype, particularly their young females, to really get an accurate picture of what their genetic potential looks like, particularly for fertility traits, which is something that's really important in those herds. So the breeding values that they get from this test, Chloe, are things such as age at puberty, the ability to conceive while lactating, body condition score, and then it also looks at tick and fly resistance as well in those animals. So it's really just giving producers another tool to add into their toolkit that they can use when making selection decisions on farm.
So that's a really awesome example of an NLGC product for the northern beef, as you said. Are there any examples within sheep that you can give us some highlights on?
For sure. So there's actually 2 current projects that I think sheep genetics clients and industry in general would be really keen to hear about at the moment, Chloe, that we have. They've both come out of the NLGC and they are both currently occurring in industry. So the first one of those is we actually have a shedding sheep project that's happening at the moment, and we're working with producers on that project. So they're a part of the research. So what we're looking to do is to be able to increase the volume of genotypes and phenotypes for shedding sheep within Lamplan and establish scoring protocols to capture shedding characteristics and to really do this accurately so that when producers are making selection decisions on shedding characteristics in their sheep. So that project is ongoing at the moment with a couple of producers in Victoria. Yep. So it's looking like we will have, by the end of this year, the plan is to have some updated scoring protocols for shedding ASBVs that producers can start to utilise on farm, ready for when those updated genomically enhanced breeding values are released to industry at the conclusion of the project. And the other key project as well would be our Merino Genomic Breeding Value project, Chloe, which I know you're very much involved in as well. And this project, as I chatted about in Northern Australia, we've released an ability for commercial producers to be able to get individual breeding values on their sheep. So what we've done with the project that's currently occurring is, again, working with about 25 merino producers across Australia to collect genotypes on their commercial merinos. And what we're doing is developing a pipeline for merino producers to be able to get individual genomic breeding values on their sheep. So this will be a product that will be able to be accessed through sheep genetics. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, we're still in the research and development phase, but it's another really exciting tool that people can add into their toolkit to be able to have more information on their animals for their selection decisions, whether it's ewes, whether it's at lamb marking, or any point in the supply chain that suits their business and what they're looking to do.
It's some really exciting work coming up. So definitely keep an eye on this space, because there will be some really cool things coming out of it. I guess for me, one really interesting part of the genetics research space is, as you said, we do work quite closely with the producers. So the breeders who are part of the shedding project, or the ones that were getting involved in the Merino GBV. Another aspect that I find really interesting, and you touched on it earlier, is the fact that we do have quite a direct pipeline from research to head into either sheep genetics or breed plan through the animal genetics and breeding unit. Are you able to give us a little bit more information about that system?
For sure. So yes, as you said, animal genetics and breeding unit are integral in the work that we do in R&D, and that funneling through to both breed plan and sheep genetics. So essentially, all of the R&D that's completed within the portfolio does have that pipeline through to those genetic evaluations, and AgBoo complete all the R&D and the things behind the scenes that then end up for a producer to be looking at either a trait or an index, or being able to select on genomically enhanced breeding values. For example, some of the key work that's happened over the last time period is that we now have genomics for nearly all of our lamb plan breeds, and that's something that AgBoo have worked on, and that's been something that has delivered through that contract and that work with AgBoo to be able to deliver that to producers. In beef, we have new reproduction traits that have been developed that are available for producers as well, so a new reproduction module. Other key thing that's happened is, as we know, in the past, IMF measures and carcass quality measures have been from the lab, so only a small portion of industry animals have IMF measures then put into our evaluations. Some of the work that AgBoo have done recently, Chloe, has allowed now that DEXA and MEQ and commercial measures of IMF and yield can now be submitted into our genetic evaluations, which, again, that just expands our reference. It's more data on more animals for some of those harder to measure traits that producers can't necessarily collect on farm. So all of those sort of things to be able to enhance our genetic evaluations, to include more information, development of new traits, that is a really important piece of work that AgBoo do that really, as you said, makes genetics a bit special, probably a little bit biased on my end, but a bit special in that we do have that direct pipeline that we know we can really get our R&D outcomes back through to the producers for them to be able to utilise on farm.
For all of this great work to happen and be implemented, there's obviously some sort of cost factor with it. Nothing is done for free, unfortunately. What are the main sources of funding for genetics research, specifically in the sheep and beef space?
Yeah, so both levy and MDC funding is utilised. Majority of our new R&D, our most recent NLGC project call, that is all MDC funding. So MDC funding is the MLA donor company. So what that is that we have the ability to be able to match funding that either producers or industry stakeholders or universities want to put towards a project, we can match a portion of that funding to be able to run that research project. So there is ability for investment from multiple collaborators, and that can really lead to some key industry outcomes, Chloe, with a lot of collaboration across industry. So that's one of our key funding mechanisms within genetics, and we also have levy projects as well.
So from being MDC funded or producers being participating in the projects themselves to being able to benefit from the outcomes of this, there's a real investment from the industry in genetics research, and they can be part of sort of that entire pipeline. If you were to summarise the benefits of genetics investment and research to the industry, what would you say?
That's a big question. I would say that when we look at genetics research, we know that it's really long term, and that can be hard sometimes to say, we'll have something to you, but we need 5 to 10 years to collect the amount of data. But I think the proof is in the pudding. We are able to deliver tools to producers that allows for long-term cumulative gain within their flocks and herds. That really does make a difference long-term when you look at that. So I think to summarise, as I said, it's a pretty hard one, but if we pull a key genetics project out, Reprenomics, which is our northern reference population in Australia for cattle, there's some key commercial outcomes that have come out of that project, Chloe, across two projects, which I think can really be a good summary of some of the big benefits of genetics work. So we've now got new EBVs for harder to measure traits for those northern breeds, Brahman, Droughtmaster and Santa Gertrudis. But it's things like we have an improved EBV accuracy on young bulls for days to calving that's moved from 30 to 50%. So that's a really big increase, as you know, and that, as we know, fertility in northern Australia is a really key trait. And that is something that's happened across that project, as well as an increase in the number of Brahman bulls that are being sold with a days to calving EBV as well. So I think that's probably a small example, but a large example, Chloe, of across all of our genetics projects, we're just trying to give them as much information as possible to be able to make selection decisions on farm for their businesses. And at the end of the day, that's what we aim to do. So it is a big investment, but it does have direct commercial outcomes for Australian red meat industry.
That is a perfect way of summarising the genetics portfolio and research. Thank you so much for joining us. Before you head, I do have one last question. If you were to think about what gets you excited and why you are so keen to work in the genetics space, what would you say?
Oh, that's a hard one. I could probably think of lots of things. I think what really excites me is we have a really passionate group of people across the industry that are always looking for different ways that we can make decisions. I think one thing that I think about what gets me really excited is, as I said, we're in the middle of a project call for the NLGC, and we got the biggest response we've ever gotten for genetics R&D across sustainability, genomics, reference populations, you name it, we got a project that potentially addresses that. So I think there's some really exciting times ahead for all the different areas of research and ways that we can collect data and deliver outcomes to producers.
Thank you, Sarah, so much for joining us and giving us more information on the reach of genetics.
Thanks, Chloe. Thanks for having me.